Comerica's exciting news for 2024. Introducing our brand new bonus show platform. Accessing all the bonus content is now a breeze. You asked us, we listened. Visit TMOSstore.com, click on bonus, and voila! It's the seamless way to snag that fifth hour and show love for your favorite podcast. Thanks a bunch, and happy holidays.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, the best of O'Mara. Here's Rob.
Hello, and ho, 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 and Merry Botmas. That's Botmas, B-O-T-M-O-S, best of the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm trying to get that to catch on. Hey, it's me. It's your old buddy Rob hosting the best of the Mike O'Mara Show for December 22nd. Christmas is right around the corner, so Gary Krimble and Happy Rudolph and all that stuff. We have got a sensational best of for you today. I have curated it myself. I will be hosting it and sprinkling some surprises in along the way, so sit back and relax and leave the driving to me. As a matter of fact, we will post a best of every day that we are gone. Brand new content, hand-selected to tickle your ears as well as your funny bone. Is that too graphic? Maybe. Let's move on and start with this. This comes from a bonus show, so there might be an occasional bleep in there or something, but it gives you an idea of what the bonus show is like if you're so stupid that you haven't subscribed yet. So dig on this, and I think you're going to like it very much. In fact, it should motivate you to subscribe to the bonus show. Just say it. Thank you. That would be my Christmas miracle. Now, here we talk about casinos and alcohol and maybe alcoholism. I don't know. Not familiar with the concept. So let's move on. Here we go. It's the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We have Rob Spiewak. We have Mike O'Mara. Oscar Santana returns to the broadcast studio on Monday, mm-hmm. but Rob Spiewak is going away.
Yes.
And you're doing nothing of, continuing to solidify your reputation as the most interesting man in the world. You will be doing the same thing you do every time.
That is not necessarily true.
You have a whole week. Go to a commune. travel up into the mountains. Bring a tent. Go camping. Go to a religious retreat.
Do something
besides going to King's Dominion and your father's house.
Close I live to Charlestown Raceway, you know.
Yeah? Are you going to go to the
casino?
There may be
a day trip involved to the casino, yeah.
But you don't want to spend money, right? I thought you didn't want to spend a lot of money.
I can. That's the thing, Mike. You go to a casino, you don't spend money. You go to a casino, you make money.
You win money.
You win money, right. Yes.
Do you know how long it's been?
since you've won or since you've attended?
Maybe the longest time in the last 10 years that I have been forbidden. Did you know that we didn't get to it on the regular show, that Mrs. O'Mara still gets the offers? I had a fit of anger one time and said, I'm canceling my, do not put me, take me off your mailing list, all that. Carla kept it, and they give freebie offers
now,
to get you in the door.
As I remember, the last one you got was some sort of magical Chinese oven or something.
Yeah, we've gotten ovens, hair dryers, all that shit. That they give
hair dryer?
I don't know what's a hair dryer. So Mrs. O'Mara has the self-discipline where she'll get this offer, and because she's got a card, she goes out to the casino, collects her free thing, and then returns home.
So they literally you can just show up, pick up, and leave.
Yeah.
Because they're counting on the fact that the
you're gonna show up and you're gonna stay.
Because you're a degenerate gambler.
Well, they're counting on it with me, which I would.
Of course.
Never go into that establishment without playing a little bit. That's what I would do because I'm addicted to it.
How far are you from the establishment?
45 minutes.
Okay, so it's about the same amount of ride for me to go to Charlestown. So it's about the same distance. And what is the name of the casino? Is it owned by one of the big guys?
Immokalee Hollywood Casino. I think it's Hollywood Casino.
Hollywood is an outfit, right? They own a lot of
Hollywood is an outfit that they have in different places. So I get home from running errands, and on the kitchen table is a box with one of those wireless cameras in it.
Okay.
And I said, "Do we have a new sponsor?" No, I got this myself. I said, "We have a wireless camera. What do you do? She said, I said, we've got the Ring stuff that we, she said, no, I got this. It was a freebie at the casino.
Was she sheepish at all? Was she sort of avoiding the topic?
It's hard. She's not sheepish about anything. So okay. It's hard to say whether she, but she said, I went and got it. I said, you didn't tell me you were going to the casino. You went to the bad place without me. And she said, well, you can't handle it. I said,
she has a point.
Yes. Well, she has a total point with that, keeping me away from it because yes. I will spend money if right. I go out there. And it's it's one of the things where when we adjusted our financial profile.
Yes.
So the way it's looking right now. So she went out and did that. And I was very, very perturbed because I would have loved an afternoon outing out there. But sure. As she said, she went out, grabbed it and came back home. And I believe her. And that's the way it goes with her. The way it's looking right now.
Did she know what the giveaway is before she made it?
Yeah.
A 90-minute round
yeah,
trip.
Yeah, they send the flyer, and she'll get crap out there. And
I'd
by
like
the way,
to know some of the stuff she's turned down and some of the stuff that merits a ride out.
She might be able to tell you that. They've got, what's the next thing they're doing?
Is it one of those tins that have three different flavors of popcorn? I love those.
Let me see
butter, cheese, and caramel. Nice. Maddie likes the cheese popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Maddie,
thank you for weighing in.
Gambling is very dangerous. Very,
Maddie
very
gambles.
Dangerous.
Every
Maddie,
time
are you
she
a gambler?
Comes to work.
Well, I love the rush, but I do like the $5 bet tables because I can't really go all in, but I like doing it.
Yeah.
So you play cards? You play blackjack?
Yeah, blackjack.
I saw you at a table in Vegas.
I know. Yeah.
We ran into each other. Where was it? The New Frontier, one of the classic old hotels?
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me see what I got here. Let me see if I can bring her up.
She's not at the house?
Shocker. Activewear.
Activewear.
All right, because this was a bit of a bone of contention. I kind of blew it off, but I think it's worthy of having on the show.
Well, you keep this one in your vest pocket.
Hello?
Hey, babe, how are you? We're doing the bonus show. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. We're talking about you. Hi, Rob says hi.
Tell him I said hi.
Okay. Carla, so you went to Immokalee, the Hollywood Casino Immokalee, without me this week, right?
That's right.
To get a video. Yeah, I know I'm not allowed there. A video camera, right? Rob Spiewak was saying, what are some of the other offers that of stuff they have? And what are some things that you have turned down
yeah,
where you haven't
declined,
gone to the casino?
Declined.
Do you have any memory of any of that?
No, everything. Liquor. I turned down the liquor.
Would what? They have liquor? What? Was that? What was the liquor they had?
Tito's.
What?
Oh, they had Jimmy.
You hear that sound? That's the sound of Jimmy's Challenger revving its engine.
And then
how much would they offer? A fifth of Tito's?
No, it was a large bottle.
Like it was a handle?
Yeah, it was.
A handle of Tito's?
It's like someone handed you $60. How do you not make that drive?
Rob says somebody handed you $60, you should have gone.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so what's the next big thing they're going to be doing?
Okay, so the next one that I'm looking forward to is they're giving away a food processor.
Really? What kind?
Yeah, I don't know. And then they're giving away, I know, a Hamilton Beach crock pot.
Oh, a crock pot is great. You know what you could do is you could use the food processor to cut up vegetables and then
okay,
put them
shut up.
In
she
the crock pot.
She can't hear you, for Christ's sake, because I'm doing it the old-fashioned way.
But you can, and that's what counts.
I have to, by the way, 2020, as we go into 2020, an availability where I want to do this, and it's completely like through my board. I can do that, right?
Yeah, well, you have the ability to remote come into the phones.
No, I want to do it myself from this studio.
That's what I'm saying. We have that remote computer. We can set that up. He can dial
right,
from that, can he?
We'll do that.
Yeah.
All right, honey.
They also have gift cards.
They have gift cards. Okay. I want to go one time with you.
No, you're not allowed. You're not going.
All right, thank you.
What?
I love
you. Leave him in the car with him?
You can't talk to her. Bye. Love you, honey. Bye. There she's gone.
She should leave you in the car with a cracked window.
You can't talk to her when I'm doing that. I want to be able to have everybody. So there you go. A handle of Tito's. I would have grabbed that.
100%.
That's a good thing.
That's great.
That's great for a party. A handle of Tito's is a lot of money.
Yeah,
that's,
you know what?
That's
you don't need a party. That's a good for a party of one.
And Tito's is a fine vodka. Were
one
you the one
best.
That was telling me that vodka is vodka? Were you the one that was saying that, or did somebody else tell
me
that?
I think I've subscribed to that theory, but I don't think we've ever discussed it.
No, I heard from someone that vodka with all the different, like the Grey Gooses and the whatever, that the way vodka is distilled, the way it's created, that there is, it's not something like a fine whiskey or a rum or something that can be altered in any way to make it better. That vodka is pretty much vodka.
It makes sense.
You can't do a lot to vodka.
Because top shelf vodka has almost no flavor. I've heard experts in spirits say vodka should taste cold. That's how it should taste. Now, Pony is our resident for the clear, crystal clear spirits. Mm-hmm. He's a gin and a vodka guy. What do you think of this?
I think that there is a slight variation. There's not much variation, but it is there. And there's usually more filtering done on a higher quality vodka, and it's less likely to give you a hangover. And so
if you were to buy, say, like a plastic bottle of Bowman's,
yeah, or like run Aristocrat.
Run it through a sieve.
Yeah, but that's what I've heard. I have heard
that
you can do that. There's not that big. Maybe the way I heard it was there's not that big a difference if you get the crappy, cheap vodkas compared to like the Grey Gooses.
Oh, and certainly
the
not if
Kettle
you do,
Ones and all that.
Certainly, if you do a comparison versus vodkas versus say bourbons, because bourbons are so complex in their flavor.
Bourbons have complex flavor profiles, but with the vodka, Pony. I mean, I understand you can filter it more, but that's about it. It's not like you flavor it in oak barrels or you have that kind of thing. So when you're talking about the flavor profile of a vodka. It you might say it's got a cleaner taste, but it's hard to really tell.
It doesn't vary all that much, but it's slight.
I think you, like me, keep certain key liquors on your liquor shelf. You have it ready to go if you need it. What is your go-to
I have
vodka?
It in my pocket right now.
Flask?
Yeah.
Like in the Prohibition?
Well, down here, you know what I don't have down here? I don't have a proper booze place like I do. Even up in Maine, I've got a tiny little wooden bar. It's really a table. It's got the little rack underneath. I don't have that.
You had that great guy. Your house in Manassas. I had to empty out that liquor. That was a great bar.
Yeah, I had a good bar there. That was good. I have been. Maybe since she doesn't allow me to go to a casino anymore.
Yeah.
I can lobby for a piece of furniture, but they're hard to find. The good ones that are. I want a liquor cabinet that also can double as a bar.
Yeah,
and a really nice piece of furniture.
I actually keep my liquor, except for my decanter, which I keep Crown in. That's on my bar that I have in the living room.
That's in your car. You keep that in your car.
The drink holder, sure.
Right.
But I have a nice mid-century piece that's like, it's actually a buffet that opens, so it can go wide or narrow, and that's a great bar. I keep the liquor in the kitchen. But I was curious if you have a rail, like a standard vodka that you keep on hand, what brand you keep on hand.
Well, it's because of the two joints, I would say, and those are marijuana joints.
Of course, marijuana cigarettes, yes.
I think I have Tito's now.
Okay.
I think I have a Tito's vodka. I have Jack Daniel's bourbon.
That's good.
I have Johnny Walker scotch.
Right.
I have 73,000 bottles of Irish whiskey.
All with about this much
ages.
Left.
By the way, I'm drinking another drink the other night at a bar, and I look and I see Jameson's Black Barrel, which I think might be a new product, but I'm not sure.
Hmm.
And I got excited about that. And then got a little. Usually, we probably don't have it because we go through it fast. We have a little Grand Marnier, and then the various sundry ones. But I think your bourbon, your scotch,
you
your
keep
whiskey,
gin.
And that's it. Carla likes gin, so we've got. I think we've got a bottle of Hendrick's,
that's
which
what
is
I
a
keep.
Really good.
Yeah, I keep
a really
that.
Good gin that's there. And it's Friday, and you're making me crave alcohol already. And it's only 11 minutes into the bonus show.
Well, you know
I'm
what?
I'm ready for it right now.
We can wind up, and we can all have some gin.
Yeah. Pony, what do you keep in your home?
I keep vodka and gin, and usually some whiskey and scotch.
Thanks for being specific.
Well, I mean, look. Okay,
what do you have in your refrigerator? I have food.
Yeah. I have Hendrick's gin on hand, and I usually have Svedka vodka, which is a nice mid-range vodka, not too expensive. Get a big bottle
Smegma.
For like $20.
I have Smegma. That's
disgusting. And you really need to filter that.
You need to get rid of that.
Triple filtered Smegma. Ask for it by name.
You know it's what you should delicious. Have? Neither of you have one of my favorite go-tos now, which is Crown Royal makes a rye whiskey. That is outstanding.
Well, you like Crown Royal is a specific, and man, some of the raging boozers at my bar in the day, they were Crown people. You get somebody that's totally into Crown, they usually like to get really, really effed up.
Well,
they
it comes
really,
from my,
really do.
I come by it naturally. My father is a Crown aficionado, and my father's father kept a pitcher of Manhattans ready to go in the fridge.
Crown Royal, and that can bang you up quickly. How many will you have on an average night?
Well, I mean, that's such a funny question because two or three drinks could be, that sounds reasonable, but if they're in a pint glass,
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. And you like it just over ice? That's how you take it?
I can take it any way you like. Over ice is probably the nicest when it sort of waters a little bit and breathes.
Has
I like
Crown
that.
Replaced your beer?
No, you know, in the warm weather, I'm more of a beer guy. Because it's hard, if you're thirsty, don't ever hit a glass of Crown to quench your thirst.
You
That's
know,
a mistake.
Being down here in 1,000% humidity, I have to say, when you're thirsty, it's kind of a slippery slope.
Oh, God.
When you're going for a drink. But the one that I go to that I'm really starting to love is the Moscow Mule. In the hot weather, with the mint, with the lime, that's a pretty good go-to. I like that
Uppercut.
A lot. Can I ask you a question? Because Mrs. O'Mara and I were discussing it yesterday.
Yes.
You had mentioned the pilgrimage to McLean, Virginia.
Yeah.
Have you confirmed and we're going to talk in code, ladies and gentlemen, so bear with us
I've not yet confirmed. The confirmation stopped at the fact that the dealership, and I'll call it a dealership.
Yes.
The dealership in Leesburg did a computer scan and said they had it at the McLean store.
Oh, so that's as close to a confirmation as you can get.
Save driving into McLean and say, I've got some time off.
Well, you take yourself out of petty cash, a crisp $100 bill, and I want you
Just for the effort? You don't need to go any further.
Effort.
That's right.
That's right. Done. Now, and venture over to that place
sure.
if you can. And
isn't it sad, Mike, when people go crazy and they say they go postal?
Right, postal. What I would do is, and save a little for Dad now. Okay, because I'd like you to have one of the four or six that they separate them.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure it's probably a premium price, but that's worth it. I mean, that's what you pay.
Believe it or not, Mrs. O'Mara and I were having that discussion yesterday because very difficult for me to acquire certain things down here in the Sunshine State. So.
Pardon
me. Not that this is important to me, but I will tell you something. 93 degree heat.
Oh, yeah.
In Plymouth, Massachusetts. And we discover this in the middle of a round of golf. And I'm going to tell you something. For thirst quenching and for the buzz factor, might have been one of the greatest experiences.
Fisher's Island, is it called?
Fisher's Island.
Yes,
it is.
And it's F-I-S-H or F-I-S-S-U-R-E?
As an anal fisher?
Yes. Oh, this is a bad island. No one sits down there. Everyone stands all the time.
Yeah. It is. When you
That would be such a great name for a boat. The anal fisher?
The anal fisher. No, I think you'd I welcome your review, and you don't have to do it until you want to, but
Mike, you know, sometimes my ride home takes me through McLean.
You're exciting me. Don't do that. That is so exciting. What a pathetic f-ing life I have.
No, it's great.
I'm over here just sitting there thinking about booze.
I look forward going to the post office when the lady says, is there anything breakable or liquid in this? No, not at all.
You know, I really rarely get excited about a product, but and how pathetic am I that I loved it that much? That's how.
What do they say? What, Mike? It's the secret to a happy life is having a pleasant past, enjoying your present, and having something to look forward to. And look, you're one third of the way there.
And no one would think that you would put vodka and whiskey in, outside of what like a Long Island iced tea or something like that, right? You would do
all
that
I know is
in
that
a Long Island.
One of the last times I was having a few drinks with Rob Ford, the mixers were lean. There was liquor, but there wasn't a lot of stuff to mix it with. And the cocktail Rob Ford made, vodka and Coke and lemonade.
Yeah.
And I said,
that would probably
you
work.
Are smarter than that. Don't do that. He says, well, there wasn't enough lemonade. I said, then use ice. Don't put Coke in that. That's
how did it taste?
Judging from him the next day, just fine.
Okay. All right. Well, let me know how that works.
I will.
Hello. You the new butler?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been the new anything.
What's happened to Hudson?
I guess he's changing.
Yeah, he does that a lot, doesn't he? Oh, I'm David Bowie. I live down the road.
Oh.
Sir Percival lets me use his piano when he's not around. He's not around, is he?
I can honestly say I haven't seen him, but come on in.
Are you related to Sir Percival?
Well, distantly, yeah.
Oh, you're not the poor relation from America, right?
Ha! Gee, news sure travels fast, doesn't it? I'm Bing.
Oh, I'm pleased to meet you. You're the one that sings, right?
Well, right or wrong, I sing either way.
Oh, well, I sing too.
Oh, good. What kind of singing?
Well, mostly the contemporary stuff. Do you like modern music?
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine. But tell me, you ever listen to any of the older fellas?
Oh, yeah, sure. I like John Lennon, And the other one with Harry Nilsson.
Ooh, you go back that far, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm not as young as I look.
None of us is these days.
In fact, I've got a six-year-old son. And he really gets excited around the Christmas holiday mm-hmm. thing.
Do you go in for any of the traditional things in the boy household, Christmas time?
Oh, yeah, most of them, really. Presents, tree, decorations, agents sliding down the chimney.
What?
I was just seeing if you're paying attention. Actually, our family do most of the things that other families do. We sing the same songs.
Do you?
I even have a go at White Christmas.
You do, huh?
And this one. This is my son's favorite. Do you know this one?
Oh, I do indeed. It's a lovely thing.
Oh, yes. Jolly good. Jolly good. It is the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. Bat Mitzvah for December 22nd, 2023. Knee deep in the holiday season. And I'm so glad you're spending it with us here at the Mike O'Mara Show. Coming up, pretty good celebrity interview here. And a guy who actually appeared on our show three times, which is kind of weird looking back on it. Bill O'Reilly. You know, news guy Bill O'Reilly, host of The Factor, whatever. I don't know what the Bill O'Reilly factor is. Maybe it's sex appeal. But Mike loves talking to him, and it's very entertaining because they're not afraid to butt heads. And we also hear about Bill O'Reilly's dog. So let's hear O'Mara v. O'Reilly on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
And without further ado, it is such a pleasure to welcome him back on the show. Mr. Bill O'Reilly joins us. Bill, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me in, guys.
Great to have you here. The author of Killing England, which I will tell you, Bill, I'm down here in Florida with a bunch of people from Indiana, Iowa, and I'll tell you, the old guys down here, everybody wants a copy of this book. I don't know whether that, and I'm an old guy, but they all want to. They want this book, so I'm going to have a lottery down here with Killing England because a lot of people want this.
Yeah, they can. You know, you can direct the old guys into any bookstore or BillO'Reilly.com or Amazon.com. Very easy to get the book. It's a huge bestseller.
I can do that.
But I'm flattered that they want to read it, and I think they'll enjoy it. It moves along.
Bill, do you know what they refer to me as down here? I call it Cocoonville. It's where a lot of retirees are, and I'm just, you know, I'm basically surrounded by a lot of angry white men down here in Cocoonville, and they call me the token, as in the token liberal. That's it. And as one of the guys from Indiana said to me, I said I was having some sort of political discussion with him, and I said, you know I'm one of 300. He said, no, Mike, you're one of 500. So that's the world that I live in down here. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
But you're not really a left-wing guy, are you?
Yes, I'm hyper left. I'm just very fair. I'm fair like you are, Bill. I'm very, very fair. And
do you believe this is the litmus test for whether you're a leftist or not?
Lay
do
it on
really
a
believe
leftist, a commie, whether I'm a commie or not. Lay it on me, Bill.
Do you really believe that the federal government should be running people's lives, should be calling most of the shots? Do you really believe that?
I would not frame it.
Government?
I would not frame it the way you frame it. I would tell you that in my years working for CBS Radio, a fine company that you also spent some time working for, but I will tell you this, that CBS Radio, in my experience working for large corporations, I perceived that there was one motivating factor and only one motivating factor, and it wasn't the common good. It was the pursuit of the all-American dollar, and you know, that's just kind of the way I perceived it, and nothing has changed my opinion about that. So I feel
but private business is not government, and nobody,
I understand, but they need
America
to be policed.
Could deny
they need to
what
be
you
policed.
Just said is accurate. I mean, money is what drives business, and that leads to a lot of bad things. But liberal Americans apparently believe that we'd all be much better off if the federal government had more power. And I'm just staggered by that.
Let me just say that I don't believe it's a more power issue. I believe that if you've got a company making widgets and that company is making hundreds of millions of dollars, and then they discover that the widgets can cause your right eye to fall out, that it would be good to have some government oversight to regulate the company
making
widgets. That's not big government. That's just making sure that the government doesn't.
I don't think conservatives oppose responsible oversight so that the consumer doesn't get hosed. But you're basically the reason the left can't get any traction right now is because Americans are very cynical about their government. They feel that these people aren't looking out for them, which is true, generally speaking. And to give them more power, to have them take more money to and all the other things that go along with that is folly. Word of the day, folly, F-O-L-L-Y.
You write that down, right? Folly, and they can't, folly with that.
The left just can't explain. I mean, really, do you want Bernie Sanders in charge? Is that what you want?
Yes, my wife voted for him.
A guy who honeymooned in Russia?
I'm fine, yes, yes, yes,
just
absolutely.
That eliminates him.
You know, and then you mentioned, though, that the left can't get traction, but how would you call 39% of the country supporting our current president getting traction on the right? So it's nobody seems to be getting any traction.
He actually came up in the latest poll to 45%. I don't really believe that poll, by the way. Look, all I'm saying to you is if you're going to be an ideological guy, either liberal or conservative, you really have to understand why. And I don't think most people do.
I agree. On the right and left, I think you're probably...
No idea.
Would you not agree that on the right and on the left, there probably, you know, there could be more informed people? I think there are a lot of people scream and yell in divided America.
People usually follow the crowd. They follow the pack. But they don't think it out. And you know, I'm an independent. I don't subscribe to ideology. I just want problem solvers in there, and I want the best for most Americans, and that's all you can hope for.
Well,
but I can't throw in with a big government anymore. They're just idiots.
All right, I'm fine with that, and the fact is that, I've watched you for years. As a matter of fact, when you were on Fox, you're probably the only program that I watched on Fox, because occasionally you would you'd headbutt people like Jon Stewart. But the fact is that I think that you gave both sides probably a greater shake than some of the other hosts on Fox. And that is the truth. And then, when I'm preparing for this and when I'm getting beaten up by my listeners on the left who want me to scream and yell at you, I have trouble doing that. I don't know why, but there's
because
something.
They want you to scream and yell about what? See, that's what I always say. All right, you got a beef? Let's hear it. What's your beef? And then because when you
I don't think they stammer like that, Bill.
Based on facts.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I don't think they stammer like that. I think they were very clear.
Well, they did. They absolutely stammer. I got to tell you, I've been doing this for 42 years, and I have never been confronted with anyone who comes up to me and says, you know, O'Reilly, you're a pinhead because you say this. Never. It's always, I heard you said something. Even Stewart, you mentioned Jon Stewart, in my head-to-heads with him, I mean, I usually won them. I mean, you know, some people.
No, you did not. You did not win them. I like Jon Stewart.
I usually won them because I just would hit him with facts. And he'd look at me and he'd go, you know, into some other thing.
Well, it was wonderful television. It was wonderful television. It really was. And the fact that, look, I have to be honest, and this is, and I know I'm going to piss some people off in my audience right now when I say this, but getting ready. I want to scream. I want to yell. I think the third time I've interviewed you. Back in the day when you were on WJFK, that's a long time ago, and then the last time you came on to talk about the book, and now, you know, getting you on here, it's just, I think that having some discourse in divided America is fun. I just don't want to see either side completely drink the Kool-Aid, because I do believe
that
the truth is somewhere in the middle. I really do believe that.
I hate that. Well, I don't know if the truth is in the middle. The truth is specificity, all right? So here's the problem. Let's solve it. That's where the truth lies when people say, all right, I'm not going to come in with a preconceived notion. I'm going to look at the situation and then try to find it. Look, one of the reasons I wrote Killing England.
Is that your dog in the background, Bill? I'm just curious. Do you have a dog in the background?
See, there are so many people sieging my house. The dog has like 15 dogs.
Wow. I was just curious. I heard the dog.
Yeah, and they're working overtime.
Well, but that's a scoop. Does the dog have a name? Does the dog have a name?
The dog has a name, Holly, and she's an internet star, by the way. Check out Holly O'Reilly, like unbelievable.
Very, very good.
But
okay, all right.
Let me make this one cogent point and shock your whole audience. The reason I wrote Killing England was to give you guys who read it a very personal view of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Benjamin Franklin. So you could compare what those men did, actually did, to what we have today. And it's just startling. I mean, particularly George Washington, one of the bravest men who've ever walked the planet, and the sacrifices that he made for our freedom. And then I look at what we have now, and it's like, how could this deteriorate to this extent? And they were slaveholders, and they were, yeah.
Thomas Jefferson would laugh Donald Trump out of the room. He would laugh Donald Trump out of the room.
Donald Trump is a product of his times. Donald Trump is a product of his times. This is, again, a very expansive view here. I don't want to confuse anybody on the radio. Donald Trump could never have been elected president if not for Barack Obama.
I agree with that. I'm not going to disagree with that. I still hear Hillary.
Barack Obama. Well, Hillary is the worst candidate of all time, so Trump caught a break.
Disagree!
But the reason that Trump even got in to get the nomination was that Barack Obama's view of the country was so left-wing that people in the middle said, you know what? We gave it 8 years. It ain't working for us. We need something dramatically different, not a little bit different. So with this guy, we're gonna give him a chance.
Let me interrupt just a second. Let me interrupt you. And I would tell you that I believe that there were many people in this country that did not like Barack Obama because he was a black man. That's why I think.
Yeah, but
that
you can't prove that. See, that's a speculative assertion.
I'm full of speculative assertions.
Why would he get elected in the first place? He ran against pretty tough competition, Romney and McCain. Mm-hmm. Why would he be reelected twice? Why would that happen if it was a racial thing? Come on.
I'm not shutting you down here.
You're not shutting me down.
I'm going back. Here's the thing. What I would tell you is that it's not about when he got elected. It's about when Hillary did not get elected. And I think that the
you're saying that it is racial. Americans resented Obama because he was half black, and I'm saying that's bull. He never would have got elected and reelected if that.
The only thing I can tell you is when I talk to people on the right, I sense that you get through the layers of the onion, and when you peel back the layers of the onion, it always seemed to me that at one time or another you would get the racial comment about Obama. You would get it, and I got it because I play a lot of golf.
I don't know who you're hanging with. All right. I don't know. All I got was I'd like to make a little more money in my job, and I can't. I haven't had a raise for 8 years. That's what I got.
To be honest with you, Bill, I've looked at the ledger, and I could use a loan. But anyway, listen, we've got Bill O'Reilly here. He is that's a fact. Know thyself, all right? That's the way I look at it. Bill O'Reilly is author of Killing England. How much time do we have with Mr. O'Reilly? I don't want to monopolize.
We have 10 more minutes with him.
Bill, the
dogs are attacking people, so I got.
Let me get to the tough stuff here because I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't. Your reaction to the Matt Lauer situation that happened last week. Well known that Matt Lauer he grilled you pretty good on the Today Show. I don't want to make light of this situation and say were you high fiving people when this happened or when the Al Franken stuff came down? But really, how do you feel about other people that are going through this type of situation right now?
Well, I always say the same thing, that if you are a fair-minded, decent American, that you want justice in all of these cases. That's what you want, all right? So you put aside glee, you put aside ideology, you put aside primitive hatreds, and you basically say, look, we need to have justice here because there are people, all right, and women who have been abused and have been hurt, and they need justice. But also, every allegation is not true, and the press doesn't care. The press not looking for the truth. Press is looking for headlines, and any allegation, bang, okay, so you're guilty. Now, in Lara's case, I've known him for a long time, I'm not friends with him.
Okay.
He did his job. I knew when I walked into the Today Show, his bosses told him, hey, you better be tough on O'Reilly. I knew that. And I'm a stand-up guy. I'll go in. I'll answer your questions honestly. So I don't have any beef with Lauer, and his children are harmed by this. I feel terrible for his children and his wife. I don't know what he did or didn't do. Apparently, you know, he said he did some stuff. Okay. So if you did some stuff, you have to take what comes. Frank and I recuse myself on because I hate him. I despise
you. Go back a long way with that.
He lied about me. He's a really bad guy. And so I said to my audience on BillO'Reilly.com, hey, look, I can't really comment on this guy because I really dislike him personally. You know, I've known him and I don't like him. So I haven't really gotten into that. I believe he's done. I said that last week. Because his party wants to attack Roy Moore and these people on the right, and they can't do that if they sanction a guy like Franken. So that's why he's out. But it's really sad for the country because it is a witch hunt. There's no doubt it's a witch hunt.
Now that's a word that is a word that's going to get a lot of people angry when they hear witch hunt, because the fact is, you said at the beginning of this that there are legitimate accusations, there are legitimate allegations that these women have been wrong.
And when you use contradiction in
But when you use that word, when you use the word witch hunt, when you use the word witch hunt, don't you think you diminish the legitimate allegations, the women that are coming forward?
Not at all. I'm pointing out that there is no search for the truth. Surely you know that there is an industry that lawyers advertise on radio and television for people to come to them so they can file lawsuits. All right? There is an industry. Surely you know that after Roger Ailes at Fox went down, there were scores of women who came in and said, well, this happened and that happened, and they were all paid. Nobody was adjudicated. And there were scores of men who were accused of things. All of that is fact. Yet we don't have any search for the truth. We don't have any. You know, if somebody denies they did something, they, in this country, have the presumption of innocence. Not in the press. Not in the press.
Then where do you line up on the Roy Moore? Where do you line up on the Roy Moore situation?
Basis.
Let me ask you about Roy Moore, because we don't have a lot of time here. How do you feel about that? Because I think all of these things...
I would never vote for that guy in a million years. I didn't like him before. I don't know what he did, but I don't like the way he's handled it. I don't like his people going out and saying this kind of insane stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think Roy Moore is really not good for anybody. But I do think he's going to win next week in Alabama. Mm.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you on that. And before we let you go, Donald Trump right now, you read a lot about Donald Trump. There are a lot of articles written about his mindset. That is what fascinates me right now. I'm curious about that. You've known the guy for a very long time. You've interviewed him. You've had him on your program. I'm just curious, when you read things like unhinged, unglued, that he's that the pressures of this, that he's reacting to things, where do you stand on his mental state at the moment with the pressures of the White House?
I have no idea about his mental state. I've talked to him occasionally. He sounds the same as he's always sound. I've known him for 30 years. But I always look at who's accusing him of being unhinged. And you know what? Usually the people accusing him of being unhinged are more than unhinged themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if it's some credible person, then I might pay attention to it. But the hate Trump media is pretty well defined. It's all coming out of there. And I just roll my eyes, and I think most Americans do as well at this point.
Who do you think Thomas Jefferson would like more, Bill O'Reilly or Barack Obama?
I don't think, probably Obama. I mean, Jefferson wasn't a confrontational guy.
Okay.
He didn't even fight in a revolution,
a good answer.
So he'd probably like Obama. But
that's
George Washington would like me better.
The book, Bill O'Reilly's book is Killing England. I would love to have you come back on the show because I love talking to you. And,
just let us know when you need us. And Christmas is coming. I want everybody to buy Killing England and go to BillO'Reilly.com for the straight truth about the news. And I'd be happy to come on. It's fun.
You're the man. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Bill O'Reilly.
Guys.
All right. Take care. That's
Bye.
It. Thank you.
Thank you,
That's Bill O'Reilly, everybody. And the book is Killing England. It's he's a tough guy to argue with. He is. But I would argue with him for 9 hours if I had the time.
So much fun to watch.
When you have
time. It was a blast.
when you have publicists waving their hands at all that. And, I think maybe I don't know about the Lauer situation, but when you read the history of Al Franken and Bill O'Reilly, you know that there were probably some high fives going around.
Absolutely.
And he recuses himself.
That's where I
as much as I want to scream, when he recuses himself, it's like of course he recuses himself.
There's a conflict
of
interest. He hates him anyway.
But remember, George Washington would like Bill O'Reilly.
If I disagree with one thing more than anything he said, I cannot stand it when he uses the word witch hunt. That is the one thing that I don't care for. Because I think that if you're going to come out in one sentence and say that you are... you realize that there are legitimate accusers out there, that these allegations, because in many cases, these women who have come forward, it is extremely difficult to do that. It takes a lot of, it does. Mm-hmm. If you don't accept that, you're not getting it. And I didn't get into the sea change in corporate culture as far as what's happening that we're all witnessing right now. But that's the, I think you have to be very careful when you throw words like witch hunt out there, but you're talking about a guy that has been, in the belly of the beast and lost his gig at Fox, and it's a, it's more personal for him than a lot of people.
I know you don't like the word witch hunt. What about when he uses the word folly?
What about folly?
Do you like folly?
Folly was a lot of fun. So there it is. I gotta pick someone, one of the guys in the neighborhood, and give him the book. That'll be fine. We have to take a break.
Perfect for Secret Santa.
Christmas.
At the end of every year.
Oh, everywhere is Christmas. At the end of every year.
I said that.
Everywhere is Christmas. At the end of every year.
One more time.
The best of the Mike O'Mara Show, hosted by me, Rob Spiewak, and you can tell I'm hosting because I've put some DJ reverb on my voice. That is my Christmas gift to you. We pay off the Bill O'Reilly interview here, and Mike, it's funny because Mike now is a skinny guy. He's lost like nearly 70 pounds, but back in the day, he was still trying to find the magic bullet for weight loss, and I think he has it here. I wonder how long it lasted. I don't remember. It's the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mock me if you will, but something has changed, and we think we're going to be pursuing this legitimately.
Okay.
And I am ready to take the slings and the barbs from everybody, but the fact is that Mrs. O'Mara met somebody at a party and had a chat about diet. And this is one of the better golfers down here. Also a guy that probably disagrees with me, everything on politics and all that. Mrs. O'Mara and I, after watching a documentary last night, I don't ask me the name of it because I was kind of half watching and then she made me sit up and watch it. We're going to be experimenting with a new food lifestyle, a major departure from what we've done our entire lives. And I am not talking about vegetarian. I am talking about worse than that. I'm talking about vegan.
What?
I'm talking about
God.
Vegan.
No,
I'm talking about vegan. I am talking about vegan.
Why you do this to yourself?
I'm talking about vegan.
Why are you doing this to yourself and your child?
Because the documentary I was watching made a lot of sense to me last night.
What does that have to do with golfing?
Hitler made documentaries too.
Inflammation has a lot to do with golfing when you can play better. And weight loss and being healthy. Wasn't your spouse a vegan?
And I tried it. It tastes like plastic. You are a foodie. Yes. I'm not.
You also eat chicken fingers when you go out to restaurants. So
Mike, I'm not a foodie.
No. Let me tell you what I had for breakfast today. I had some oatmeal with a little maple syrup and some bananas on it.
What's the last time you had something that was great? Midnight last night?
This is brand new, and the reason I hesitated because I know what. First of all, Rob's going to yell at me for doing this and saying you're not, and then Oscar's going to say it's not going to last. You're never going to last. You're not going to do that.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a lifestyle that won't last 12 hours.
The only thing you should be doing is getting another surgery, but like a lap band.
Here it is. This document, God, I wish I, wait, hold on. I wish I remember the document. The
surgeries work out for him. Diets don't.
Oh, he's great at surgery.
Well, the fact is, it's, I, look, when they.
Can you eat oatmeal all the time, though? You can't.
No.
It's an outlier.
But you can, you can eat other things.
Ice cream is not okay.
Halo Top ice cream is a vegan-friendly ice cream. Yeah, I know. You want the heavy, fatty stuff.
Sure.
I am telling you that I, look, is this, do I know what the road is ahead? I do not. I am not prepared to even discuss it yet. I am simply telling you that the experiment is beginning. And I also believe that with every experiment like this, you're occasionally probably going to have a moment as you ease into it where you might slip at a holiday meal and have some meat once in a blue moon.
Slip on a steak.
But the fact is that the documentary spoke to me last night because of not only the health benefits of a plant-based lifestyle, but it also, and I know there are a lot of people out there that are probably shaking their fists in the air and going, yeah, that's right. But the fact is the way the animals are processed and the way things go on, I am here to tell you, I know, look.
Who made the documentary? Was it Big Vegan? What was their point of view?
But do you know that the big disease companies in America, your American Heart Association, your American Cancer Society, your Diabetes Association, you know who the big donors are for all those people?
Who?
They're the big food companies.
Of course.
The big food companies. And they go in and they talk to this guy about diabetes. And you know what he doesn't want to talk about? He doesn't want to talk about diet.
Yeah.
Because the philosophy of this documentary is that everything you put in your body is what's causing these problems that
Mike,
we have.
Mike, the idea that if you put the right fuel in your body, much like if you put the right fuel in your car, you will perform at a higher level is absolutely correct.
Very
I
valid.
Get that.
Thank you.
But you
I know
are
me.
Not the guy that cares about fuel.
But you know what? Maybe it's time for
you're
me to
unleaded.
Be.
You're unleaded. You're not.
No. You know what it is?
Maybe after two hip surgeries, maybe this is the time to do it.
You know, this is not the time to switch to regular.
No, you're not even diesel.
No, you need high test. What you need is a high test with steaks.
You know what? I look. All
you
want to
go electric? You can't go electric.
Let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you this right now, and hear me, and hear me, hear me, hear me. One of the other things in this documentary, they showed these different people that made the transition, and they didn't have to wait a month. They didn't have to wait 2 months. They had to wait about 2 weeks. They saw benefits, especially inflammation. Ha, these little fingers that get sore when I'm playing golf and all doing and running around with my kid, and my knees are hurting, and everything's hurting. I will let you know. I will give you a report. Yes.
What about my poor godchild? You're going to deprive him of the greatest
foods? No, he is
foods?
Not going to be. We are not going to do it immediately with him, but we are going to, because he also has some allergies that we are dealing with here. But we are going to, certainly the dairy situation is a little different for him. He likes to have his milk in the morning. Look,
does he know that meat loses its vitamins if it's overcooked?
If it's overcooked. You'll eat it rare, Christina.
It's raw.
You will eat it rare. That's it.
I'm rooting for you, Mike.
I'm rooting for you to feel better.
Is Shannon pretty religious about it?
Shannon has gone from a vegan diet to a vegetarian diet to a pescatarian diet.
That's fish.
Now she eats everything because
smart.
The root of all these diets, whether it was someone told her at one point she was allergic to bread, it was just a disaster. The root of everything.
She went gluten-free. That was probably a gluten thing.
The root of it is that she needs to work out and she needs to be physical throughout the week, and that's what keeps her healthy. Bottom line.
I get it.
Do the hard work.
But Mike, what does your father himself say? Moderation in all things, including moderation.
I'll keep you posted. We have to take a break. I want to come back and
You watched an hour of propaganda because I know which documentary you're talking about because Shannon put me onto it and I said, I don't want this commie stuff on my TV.
Commie! Yes.
All right, well, leftist. Hey, he just left. Go up to Jersey. Go up to Long Island and go to his house.
Hey, I got
Mr.
a
O'Reilly.
Dog. The dog's a star.
With that.
Holly. Yeah.
You'll notice I didn't lay that one on Bill O'Reilly, that I was going with the vegan lifestyle.
Oh, he'd like that.
Playing the type. I'll let you know. And aren't all documentaries really, in their own little way, propaganda?
Of course. Yes.
It's just what propaganda do you choose to believe?
Ah.
The propaganda from that documentary where they don't seem to be profit motive, or the propaganda from Big Food. food. We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Remember about 10 years ago when the computer became very popular and everybody said, well, this will put an end to stores? Well, it didn't. You can still go and look at stuff and touch stuff. And I went and did my shopping today, and I was outside. Whoa, it was crazy. And I mean, I was jostled. People rubbed up against me. People actually touched me. I was fondled.
Oh, boy.
That's right. I'm going back tomorrow.
Christmas time is here. And the best of the Mike O'Mara Show, Batmas, is also here. Merry Batmas, everybody. And in this segment, spotlight on Oscar Santana. We talk about Oscar and his parents, and also what seems to be a running theme through the history of this entire podcast, renovating his house. Oscar and his tiny little spite house in Georgetown. Maybe we can shine it up. Maybe not. Check this out. It's the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
That's the big gift for the parents from the kids this year, Mike.
Oh, is it really?
My sister and my brother and I. A sleep number bed for
that's exciting.
Old Mama Santana.
Get the adjustable platform.
Oh, they'll love it.
When my dad's in town, he can sleep in it as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe encourage him to stay local a little more often.
Depends.
Good bed. Good
Do
bed.
You, since it is a bone of contention in the O'Mara household, I have a question for you. Do you think that Mama Santana or Dad Santana, either or, who will use the platform bed more?
Oh,
will
my your mother my, use it? No, my it 100% my father. Let me tell you a story.
Is it a male thing? Because Carla doesn't use hers.
He has heartburn like I have heartburn. It was hereditary. Mm-hmm.
When you say the platform, that means the raised head feature?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So as a kid, it was always a fun game when my dad would eat something spicy and then my mom would yell down, "Necesitamos los ladrillos," which means we need the bricks. And my brother and I would go upstairs with four bricks apiece from the backyard in a little townhouse. I'm sure that was classy. It's not like we were building anything.
Right. Well, you want to have them just in case.
And we would raise the bed with bricks.
Yeah.
On the I guess the where the heads would rest, the headboard. So my dad could actually have some sort of elevation for his heartburn.
Yeah, it's good.
For relief.
Wow.
With bricks. With bricks. Now they can do it with an app or a remote, whatever they want.
Now when mom calls for the bricks, it just means she's mad at dad.
We have in our bedroom. Because she'll hit him?
Yeah.
She'll hit the bricks.
Hit the bricks.
Yeah, because she's like, I'm hitting the bricks.
I'm out of here, baby.
Yeah.
Baby.
Or you hit the bricks.
Oh, yeah. It could go both ways.
Los ladrillos.
Our platform for our sleep number bed in our bedroom is on a hardwood floor that has a carpet on it.
Okay.
But the carpet on it only goes out to so far so that the wheels that have not been locked on the platform are not on the carpet, which would stabilize the bed. So what we have is when I thunder into the bed, when I hurl my body, when I skydive into my bed in the evening, it kind of moves the platform back. And then the first thing I do, whether I'm reading or whether I'm watching television, is I get my remote out and I put up the bed. And then it hooks on the headboard.
Yeah.
And Carla.
Because you've moved the bed.
Carla, who was there the day that the Sleep Number guys came out to put the bed in, did not tell him to put it on the carpet properly. And she yells at me and says, you're going to break the headboard. I said, I am not. I'm pushing away.
A little Bob Barker there.
I am pushing away the bed frame from the wall. If the bed refuses to go outside of its parameters, then it will hook on the headboard. What do we have? It's a new Corvette.
Bob, two questions.
Bob. Yes, Oscar Santana.
Keeping the bed going.
I'm still alive.
When you ate the steak dinner in bed, did you raise the platform or did you actually just eat it laying down?
I've never consumed anything that you would have at a dinner table with completely, lying down.
Yeah, or, you almost couldn't.
So it's a luxury to have that.
When did I eat a steak dinner in the bed?
Some time ago.
Yes.
It's like, part of show
lore.
Long.
Yeah, but you've had a sleep number for over 20 years, so I didn't know if it was in that bed.
And I believe it was after the relocation to Florida.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's been in that time frame.
I think it was a New York strip, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not as big on eating in bed as I used to be with a six-year-old. It sends the wrong message.
It does.
And there is nothing.
And it brings vermin.
Not vermin. We are so pesticided out down here. We are contributing to the decline of the planet totally down here. There is just, you would think, right? You would think crawling with vermin. The only thing that we have on the outside of the house down here, we got your little gecko lizards, your little anoles.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call those vermin.
And they're saving your money.
I wouldn't either.
I think they're cute.
They don't bother me. Like them. I like them.
Are those the ones that have the like real tiny teeth that you can like hang them off your finger?
If you can get them in the right mood, they can bite your finger and you can like hang them. And they also, if you grab them by the tail, in many cases, the tail will fall off and they'll grow a new tail.
Just like Charlie.
Hey, I grew a new one. I grew a new one, Rob.
Yes. I know you did, Charlie.
Mike, you're about to move. Have the gentleman who moved you kindly just adjust your bed.
And really, the solution
is... Well, it's a carpeted bedroom. But so it's the whole bedroom's carpeted, so it's not going to matter.
But Mike, the solution is you've got to lock those wheels.
Yeah.
And that's not hard. It's just a little thumb nut on the side, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I didn't do it properly, but...
He doesn't like to get down on his knees.
I can't. I'm not good. I don't run cable under this stuff.
Running cable, the man's a national treasure.
Well, I'm saying that you could get someone to lock
celebrity.
I don't know. There's certain details that I don't sweat. Like, like when the realtor tells me to find out all the homeowners association parameters.
Ooh,
and news
HOA.
Like that. And I immediately.
Del Boca Vista.
I get that in my hand.
Uncle Leo.
Carla, fill out, and she does.
Do they know about your letter?
We are a team. Well, you mean the letter from the grievance board?
Yeah, naughty.
No, I don't think it's.
You know what? What's great? That
they
probably
would
prevent
me from selling my home.
That won't follow you to the new location.
It would encourage me to sell my
home.
And that won't follow you to the new location. New start, right?
He's
moving across the street.
I was not punished.
I know. I'm only teasing.
Do you understand?
Yeah, but Mike,
I was not
in
punished.
America,
it was put in my permanent file.
Letter writes you.
It took a lot of letter writing. It was put in my permanent file.
Who had recorded it also.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of dances.
This man loves his community so much, he's literally moving across the street.
That's right. Staying local.
Look, the decision was made that, and we looked. You know that. Both of you.
Yeah.
And I talked about it. You know that we were looking
offline. You're like, hey, man, maybe we should move to Savannah.
I'm
looking at Houston.
Power.
Yeah. And then I thought about it and I said, you know what I've got? I've got here, I've got schedule. And I'm not sure I'd be able to get schedule anywhere else that I would go. Where schedule is, I get to do this and pursue the hobby I love.
In Arizona.
No, but I don't think the noon hour.
Too close to the border.
I'm comfortable. It's a price issue. You know what I mean?
I'm not if you move to Cave Creek.
Caves Creek up in Baltimore?
No, Cave Creek. Cave Creek, Arizona.
What is that?
The Phoenix is just like, it's, I would say, 40 minutes outside of Phoenix, and the houses aren't that expensive.
Well, how nice. It's the Leesburg of Phoenix.
No, I stopped looking for homes after I bought the current home I have, which I really can't live in yet because every time I walk in, I am depressed.
Well, he can't look at homes now because his new house is too narrow for a map.
Let me ask you this. When you update your home,
yes,
eventually, when you update.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I'll tell you why. I just had the third contractor come through in the last 3 weeks. And they're like, I don't know if it's worth you doing anything to this place.
I think the ultimate solution for his house is to actually couple it with an adjoining house.
You didn't hear that. I heard what he said. I was listening to him. Okay, listen to this. That is an a-hole. You run away from that douche as fast as you can. Really, I don't like any contractor that says no first. And any contractor who would say that is not worth warm spit. I don't think it's worth even doing anything. What? Because you don't live there?
You live
in a little bit of space. Make it work. Make it for the, if you want to sell it for the next person. How dare he? I would be furious if the contractor said that.
When they tell me this is for you, I guess 20 somethings that are listening right now, the three of you, when you start growing up and your parents do things to your house, then they go through the kitchen.
Can I speak to the three of them just briefly?
Yes, please.
Hi, kids.
Take a moment. Thank you.
Finger on the pulse of the youth of America.
Take a moment and and really reflect on how and what they go through and the money they spend to make your home a better place. Because I took it for granted when I lived in Olney. Like, my mom would get the bathroom fixed, get something updated. Mm-hmm. She'd bitch about it all the time. And I'm like, why would you do if you're bitching about it? Now I'm understanding. What these gentlemen are basically saying is, if I do anything that I really want to my house, outside of just buying an oven and putting it in like the little alley alcove that you got to see if you came out to the Vegas show. And that would basically be a barbecue, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. With an overhang. Mm-hmm. They said that I would price myself out of the, I guess, the comps in the neighborhood. So I basically just am paying to be...
You mean into getting the carpentry required to modify the home for the purposes of living a normal, non-hot plate life, you would spend so much money that in order to recoup that money in a resale, you would price yourself out of the market.
That I would lose any gains and price myself on the high end of the market, not out of the market.
What about the quality of life you're adding to yourself while you're living there?
Well, what's funny, Rob, is that's what I'm trying to... tell the gentleman. He's like, well, what's your budget? I said, well, what are we looking at here? Like, I don't have a number that's magically going to work.
Right.
I got to go to a bank, man. We got to figure this out.
That house has been lived in, correct? Before you? Someone used that as a residence. It's like an apartment.
Yes. John maybe Adams did.
Maybe a single person. It's like an efficiency.
A guy who worked for the guy that knew the guy that signed the Constitution lived there.
Yeah.
But in between ye old times and the Santanas moving in.
It was servants' quarters for the larger houses around the corner.
It was as a room, basically.
Yeah.
Could you conceivably absorb a house on either side and connect them into one larger house?
Oh, my God, that'd be fantastic. Can we win the Powerball?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that conceivably, that's probably the ultimate. If you're talking fantasy, that's your best play.
You know what? Yes. But both my neighbors, one is a wonderful couple that's in corporate banking and pharmaceuticals. They're not going anywhere. If anything, they're just going to build their place out.
Corporate banking and pharmaceuticals. And
the trace amounts of arsenic were the only thing keeping them alive.
And then to the right, Mike, you'll like this guy. He's retired. He made his, cut his teeth or made his living in health insurance.
Yeah.
And also owns.
Always, there it goes. Pharmaceuticals.
No, but Mike.
Insurance.
He's the coolest guy ever. He's like, I'm leaving for Florida. And we're like, oh, why? He goes, I got a racehorse that I purchased with a friend of mine that we're going to go check out. And I'm like, oh. Well, we'll get your mail. We'll get your mail. And I'm going to continue talking to contractors.
What if you sold him your house as a stable for the horse?
It's not wide enough.
Oh, no.
Not wide enough.
You're
not
right.
Not wide enough.
Yeah, you got a pony in there, but not a Clydesdale. That wouldn't happen. It wouldn't work that way.
3 days left for Christmas shopping. 3 days left to fill the stocking. 3 days left for Christmas shopping. Only got 3 days more.
One, two, three. Only three shopping days till Christmas. But don't despair. There is still time. Now listen to this.
Best of the Mike O'Mara Show, and of course, 'tis the season for fruitcake. Did you buy a fruitcake from us? If you did, thank you. If you did not, woe be unto you. But either way, before we were selling fruitcakes, we did a feature on the show called The 12 Days of Fruitcake, where we had to call you and you had to answer with the word fruitcake or say fruitcake on your voicemail. Always fun when we make outgoing phone calls. So let's do a fruitcake contestant and then a little bit of news right here on the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show. And remember, we're back on Monday. That's Christmas Day with even more Best of for your Yuletide listening pleasure, okay? So check out Fruitcake and News, and we will see you on Christmas Day. Ho, ho, and also ho, on the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Fruitcake time!
Fruitcake!
Fruitcake.
What's your bacon?
Fruitcake!
Fruitcake. Fruitcake.
You're going to love this one, Mike.
This is a great letter.
We have a new letter that just came in. Now, the rule is, once again, if the person is at home and they mention fruitcake, they get it. If they leave fruitcake on their answering machine, they also get the fruitcake.
Exactly. That is true.
Otherwise, we roll over the fruitcake, and the next person has a chance to win Doppel fruitcakes,
which is something we invented here at our German studios.
Very good. All right. Here's the letter from today. Hello, boys. I just received my annual invitation to the Nance Family Christmas Party. P1 listener Adam Mayfield and I will be attending the party on December 8th. My request for a fruitcake is not for me, but to give as a host gift to our friend, Jim Nance.
Yes!
The last time we saw him, this is legit?
This is legit. She actually attached the invitation.
And the invitation's there, and I looked up his address because I'm a creep. Nice stack of bricks.
Yeah, not too bad.
I think he's got like one of the master's holes in his backyard.
There's
like
a gate, Mike.
Yep.
You can't see past the street view.
The last time they saw Jim Nance, we mentioned the Mike O'Mara Show, and he lit up, and he asked how you all were doing. He would love to get back in touch, as he always had fun with you all. Rob Spiewak, remember that for a future booking.
Absolutely.
That should be fun. Happy holidays, Stephanie Loftus, and let's call Stephanie Loftus right now. And, you know, I'd like to explore the connection between Stephanie and the Nance family.
You just don't get invited to a Nance family Christmas.
And it says on the invitation, Santa Claus is going to be there.
Yeah.
It's very, very
exciting. Santa's coming.
See if Stephanie is home. If she's not, hey, and even with the Nance connection,
yes,
we will not give her the fruitcake if it's not on her answering machine. So that'll be very, very frustrating. And you never know when we're going to do these calls, and that's continuing to ring. So I'm going to.
I understand Santa is played by Phil Sims.
Stephanie, I'm not available right now, but please leave your name and number, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks so much.
Stephanie,
at the tone,
let me
record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Stephanie, it's Mike O'Mara from the Mike O'Mara Show, and you sent us a wonderful letter about going to the Nance family Christmas party and giving Nance a fruitcake. And unfortunately, because you didn't leave any fruitcake message on your machine and you weren't home, you blew it! You blew it. But the fact is that we are going to roll two fruitcakes over into tomorrow.
Right.
And Jim Nance will never have the pleasure of sinking his teeth into a Rob Spiewak fruitcake. But we will have Rob follow up and try to get him on the show. Yes. But I'm sorry, Stephanie. No exceptions. Rules are rules.
Rules are in place to make the game more fun, Stephanie. You will never be getting a necktie.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Happy holidays, Stephanie. Ho, ho, ho.
News.
Boo. That's a shame.
It is.
But, you know, in a way, it's not.
These celebrity types.
Yes, I know.
What can you do?
It's a good story.
Time Magazine just announced its Person of the Year yesterday, and no, it didn't go to President Trump or Colin Kaepernick or any single person for that matter. This year's honorees are the Silence Breakers, a.k.a. women and men who've spoken out against sexual misconduct. The cover features five women, including Ashley Judd and Taylor Swift. Technically, there are six women, but only the elbow of the sixth is visible because she didn't want to be identified. Time spoke to them, along with people from all walks of life who've come forward, including other celebrities like Rose McGowan, Megyn Kelly, actor Terry Crews, and Alyssa Milano, who started the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. So that's the cover of Time Magazine. And
a little crowded for my taste.
Thank you. Of course it is.
Thank you.
Used to one person.
He's all about layout. Too much elbow.
Two more women accused Senator Al Franken of sexual misconduct yesterday. Oscar, I know you've been monitoring it. What is the very latest?
At 11:30, we'll hear the announcement. All the rumors say that he will be stepping down. It is not confirmed, though.
All right. Well, you're going to be around for our taping of Political Persuasions.
I will be. Not
today?
Going anywhere.
Yeah. Right now, CNN is doing a live feed from the Capitol. I don't know what they're covering, but here's what they're running.
Oh. Oh, God. There you go.
18.
Getting on all eight today, boys.
18 days for Christmas shopping. Only got 18 more.
Only 18 more.
Hi there.
Hi.
It's later than you think. Only 18 more shopping days till Christmas.
My liver fell out.
There he is. Anyway, another woman said he tried to forcibly kiss her after taping of his radio show in 2006, and others said he groped her during a photo op in 2009. Democratic senators finally started calling for his resignation yesterday, and so did Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez. Minnesota Public Radio reported that Franken plans to resign today, so that's what they're expecting. But then This message appeared on his Twitter feed. Senator Franken is talking with his family at this time and plans to make an announcement in D.C. tomorrow. Any reports of a final decision are inaccurate. So this is...
And remember, we had the breaking story that Bill O'Reilly had to recuse himself because he hates him.
Yeah, that's well, they had the big, the big fight on like a panel.
Right.
You remember that video? It's hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have to wait and see. And that should fall during the taping of Political Persuasions today. So Chris Freitz and I will be talking about that. And all the more reason for you to subscribe
Tune
to the
in.
Show
Do it.
Political Persuasions. David Cassidy didn't always get along with his daughter, Katie. And she was basically raised by her mom and stepdad, so it's not necessarily a surprise that he left her nothing when he died. His will says, yeah, it's always tough when that happens. Here's what it says in the will. It is my specific intent not to provide any benefits here under to Catherine Evelyn Cassidy and or any descendant of Catherine Evelyn Cassidy. That's pretty harsh. Instead, he left everything to his 26-year-old son, Beau. Although he didn't have a huge estate by celebrity standards, his assets totaled about $150,000. Maybe Katie doesn't need it as much as Beau. She's 31 and a pretty successful actress. Doesn't sound like that mattered at all to David Cassidy.
No, sounds like a final dig to me, yeah.
She's been in a lot of movies like Black Christmas, When a Stranger Calls, A Nightmare on Elm Street. So she's,
I feel like
had a bit of
when
a
I hear the $100,000 mark, right?
Yeah.
Not that it's not a lot of money, but for a guy like David Cassidy, I have to believe that he has some sort of living trust, right?
I would think so. I would think he had a, being a pop star for as long as he was, but you also...
And he came from money.
Yeah, he came from a lot of money, the family, right?
Yeah, exactly. Acting family.
I'm trying to think who that guy was.
I can't recall the name.
There you are. Anyway.
Unless that guy who burnt up.
Yeah.
unless he was all cash.
Yeah.
I had it all under my easy, Chaz.
Jack Cassidy.
There you are. Sorry. The 10s, 20s, and 100s all burned up in the fire. Jack Cassidy. Christmas is on a Monday this year, so according to the calendar and also basic math, New Year's Day is also on a Monday.
That's right.
And here's the big question. During that week in between, do you have to go to work? According to a new survey, the odds are your answer is yes. 18% of people say they are working the entire week. 33% are taking the whole week off. And everyone else is going to work at least some of those days. But even though the majority of people will have time off that week, that doesn't really mean they'll stop working. 64% will check in with work or at least check email when they are off between Christmas and New Year's. That kind of applies to us, even though we will be not doing shows that week.
There'll be new content. The Rob Radio Christmas special will be up. You'll have lots of stuff to listen to.
So technically, we're
always
working.
Giving you what you want.
Exactly.
The survey also found 35% of people are going to end the year without using all of their vacation time. The main reasons that they're carrying over the days for something later, or they have too much work to do, which is unfortunately the way it rolls for a lot of people in retail and places.
I always marvel at the people they have the use it or lose it, and they figure out like on December 10th they're not going to be able to burn all their time.
Yeah,
I would be if I was in that situation, I'd be a miser with it.
Yeah, but
I would know it to the minute.
That's CBS.
Was it?
Like, yeah, CBS, use it or lose it. It doesn't roll over.
Well, actually,
I was always left with like a week of vacation that I didn't take because they begged us to do this.
You didn't use the Don Geronimo Mike O'Mara theory where you steal them at the end of the year.
That's right. And if you produced for them, you could sometimes live in the shadow of that.
Yes, and I know you really hated that, Rob.
Hey, I would come in, do a crossword puzzle, waved him as Bobby, go home.
If Bon Jovi fans had their way, their heroes would have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame the day after Slippery When Wet came out. And Rock and Roll, the hall didn't even exist back then. But it looks like they've finally done it. They're going to get their wish because the results of the fan vote for the class of 2018 are in. And Bon Jovi won it pretty easily.
Uh-huh.
They got 1,162,988 votes. Wait, let me give that to you again.
How many?
They got 1,162 votes. Their closest competitors were the Moody Blues with 947,726. That's a difference of more than 214,000 votes. Dire Straits came in third with 613,000. The Cars were fourth, about 552,000. And Judas Priest finished fifth with 538,000. It's worth noting that ever since the fan vote was created, the winner has always gotten in. The previous winners were Rush, Kiss, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Chicago, and Journey. The new class will be announced next Wednesday, and the induction ceremony goes down April 14th in Cleveland.
So the Moody's could still make it in this year. Not Barb and Chuck, but the Moody Blues.
Is that important to you?
I know you've gone to it. I've seen them in concert many times. They're a favorite band.
Boring!
Hey, but you know who's going to be at that rock and roll induction ceremony to oversee the band?
Paul Schaefer.
He'll be there.
That's exciting. And now I bring you a little something something. A 30-year-old tennis instructor in Miami, my home state, was arrested last year for hitting a 5-year-old student with a tennis racket. Apparently, the kid was acting up and swinging his racket around near the other kids. There's a video that shows the instructor grab it out of his hand and hit him with it. The kid ended up with a bruise on his arm and a bump on his head, and the instructor got arrested for child abuse. Mm. But now his lawyer is citing the Florida Stand Your Ground law.
What?
And says the kid was the initial aggressor. He wants the charges dropped.
Wow.
Yes, he is arguing his client had to stand his ground against a 5-year-old.
Wow.
In the world.
In the world.
To be fair, the instructor claims he was standing his ground to protect the other kids from getting hurt. He's never been in trouble with the law before, and he claims he hit him with the racket accidentally. Well, that's a biggie right there, if it was an accident. In the video, it does kind of look like he took a swing at the kid, but it's hard to tell. He's due back in court early next year, and I was going through my files and happened to find another Florida slogan of the day.
Oh, you happen to have a new one? This is a fresh one.
Yeah, I've been working with the ad agency to come up with them, but if you'll have it, here it
Love
is.
It.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Florida, violence isn't an accident. It's a way of life. Thank you very much.
Hey, you know, Mac's brother is a tennis instructor.
Oh, that's right. You're Mac. Is Mac in the studio?
Mac and Dad. He is here. Mac and Dad.
Yeah, I didn't know my brother was in Florida.
Thank you, Mac. All right. Very good. Hey, everybody's doing shtick today.
Not bad.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.